That's a good song and a good truth. He inhabits the praises of Israel. He inhabits our praise, and he wants you to praise him. And pray, that is so good. You know, if you come to church and there's just absolutely nothing to praise the Lord about, something is wrong. I mean, there's so much to praise the Lord about. We're talking about that in the book of Revelation, Revelation 5. We're coming up on the one of the greatest outbursts of praise. It is in the future, but it's an amazing thing to read about, and it's all about the Lamb slain. Amen. And he was slain for, now see, the Lamb slain, and it's like, and it should be, praise God, the Lamb slain. If he's not slain, we all go to hell. But anyway, I want to talk to you about a certain blind man, not just any old blind man, but a certain blind man. And the blind man couldn't see, but God saw him. He was a certain blind man. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Please speak to our hearts. Give us exactly what we need today. Thank you for being able to heal a blind man. Thank you for helping us when we don't see things as we should. And I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and help those that are blind today to be able to see their need for Christ so they'd be saved, to see needs in their life that they certainly could come to you for. Bless the preaching, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A certain blind man, the Bible says, he came to pass as he was come nigh unto Jericho. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. It's been, I guess, nearly 50 years that I've had to wear glasses or contacts of some kind. I've had to have some sort of sight correction. And it's been nearly 20 years that I was diagnosed with glaucoma and started putting drops in my eyes, have had a series of laser surgeries on my eyes, and so nearly 20 years. And, I can tell you this, that over all those years, sight is a very precious thing. It really is. And you think about the glasses. Some people, you start wearing them when you were a child, and you kind of take that for granted. But try going a day without them. Try going a day without your contacts. Try going a day, and there are some levels of sight and that where maybe you could do that. But those of you that have never wore glasses, never have had contacts or anything, well, you ought to thank God every day for your eyes. Amen. You ought to thank God you can see. Now, Fanny Crosby, if you've ever studied her or learned anything about her, she had two blindnesses that she likes to talk about and she liked to talk about. One was her physical blindness that she had, but two was her spiritual blindness. And I guess we can look at both as we study the Bible. The Bible says much about being able to see. And the Bible does say a lot about the healing of blind people, but not only as we read about the physical blindness that they're healed of, we are reminded over and over in Scripture about spiritual blindness. Blindness as well. And so this morning and tonight I'm going to talk about eyes and being able to see. And this morning, a certain blind man. It's a precious thing when I read in the Bible about a certain man. I think about this certain man nobody else maybe cares about, and I'll talk about that, but the Lord knew that he was there. He saw him. And you're here today, and maybe spiritually you're blind. I don't know of anybody who's physically blind here today. But spiritually, maybe you're blind, maybe you're lost, you're without Christ. I hope you'll listen very carefully, because God sees you. Amen. He sees you. He knows you're here. He knew you were coming. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you need today, and he wants to meet that need. And praise God for that certain word that is in the Bible, a certain blind man. Not by chance, not lucky, but no, a certain blind man that Jesus found and met his need. You know, I was at age 17, I was that certain blind person spiritually. Oh, I wore the glasses. I wore at 17, I was wearing contacts. And but I was spiritually blind. And I'm so glad Jesus saw me. I'm so glad he saw me, and he directed people into my path. He directed people to cross my path. He directed people to give me little pieces of literature here and every now and then talk to me about the Lord. I'm so glad he cares about a certain blind man. I'm so glad he cares about a certain person. Every one of us. You are that certain person. My question is, are you blind today? Are you blind about Jesus? Are you blind about the things of God? Are you blind that there's a heaven? Are you blind that there's a hell? Are you blind that Jesus is the difference and he wants to save you today? I hope if you're blind, you'll see this blind man found out the Lord Jesus cared about him. And I'm so glad this blind man found out at the age of 17, Jesus cares about me. Let's get into the message here. And number one, we see his trouble. And he had some serious issues that were going on here. It says in verse 35, he was a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And right here in the very beginning, verse 35, we see both of his troubles that he had. First of all, he was blind. The Bible doesn't say why he was blind. The Bible just says he was blind. And it's interesting in John chapter 9, the man that was born blind, the Bible does say why he was blind. It was so that he could glorify God. You know, we have adversities in our lives and we have things in our lives. And sometimes we can go back to those things and say, you know what? I think that maybe it was so that I could glorify God. I'll be honest with you. There was a day I put my drops in for my glaucoma to keep my pressure down. There was a day I kind of griped about that. There was a day that I was putting so many drops back in the early days of my glaucoma. You know, 20 years ago, medicine was not advanced like it is today. And it was way before they would do laser surgery and all that. And I was putting so many drops in my eyes. My eyes literally were bloodshot day in and day out. I'd put drops in the morning, drops in the afternoon, then drops at night. And anything that ended with I-N-E, It made my eyes red, and it was bad. People would come in and say, Pastor, you don't look so good. You know, when your eyes are red, you don't look so good. I mean, if you're tired, your eyes will get red. If you're drunk, your eyes, well, I wasn't drunk. But, you know, they look at you like, you got a problem here. But I griped about those drops. I mean, my eyes hurt. They stung all the time, and I complained about them. But, you know, God helped me to see some things that certainly, without those drops, I would be blind today. I'm convinced of that. I know that. I know what glaucoma does. And without those drops, and I've gotten now where, you know, and by the way, those drops are expensive. One of these little bottles, we've paid as much as $125 for a little bottle of little drops that, you know, you put in your eyes, and then they cause pain. And by the way, most prescription things do cause you some kind of problems and stuff. But I thought about, boy, those drops have saved my sight. And praise God for that. And again, well, I don't know why. The man born blind. So what are you going to do, preacher? Well, I'm going to glorify God because of my eyesight. I'm going to glorify God because I can see. And I had that surgery a few years ago. And it was like, wow, for the first time. Like right now, I have no glasses, obviously. No contacts on. And I can't see real well. You folks in the back, you might be goofing off. I don't know. You might be picking your nose. I wouldn't point it out. I wouldn't anyway. But I can see. I can see my notes. And I can actually see my super giant print Bible. And what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to glorify God. I don't know why this man was born blind. But I do know this. I know that Jesus knew about it, and he saw it, and whatever problem you may have today, whatever thing that you may have been born with or you may have happened to you, understand that Jesus Christ knows about it, and it is something that someday you can give God the glory for. This man, he was blind. And you know, sometimes we recognize spiritually, and we'll get more into this tonight, I think, but you know, sin can be very blinding. And sin could, you know, I remember sitting in church and hearing how to be saved, but I really didn't want to let go of my sin. I liked my sin. I didn't want to go to hell. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Remember, you know, you thought about, well, I don't want to go to hell, but I do like my sin. That is the blinding effect of sin. We all know that in the Old Testament, blindness was a result of Samson because of his sin. He got caught because of his sin, and literally they put out his eyes, and he became blind because of his sin. Great application, because sin sometimes causes us blindness. You're here today without Jesus. You've never been saved. And you say today, well, I don't want to be religious. Oh, I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about being saved. I'm talking about going to heaven when you die. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about not going to hell someday for all eternity. I'm saying you can be saved today, but you say, yeah, but I don't want to make all the changes. Listen to me. What you need to do is come to Jesus. Let him take care of all of that. And sin is a blinder, and it makes us blind. And, you know, you don't see hell, you don't see heaven, you can't see Jesus, you don't know that he loves you. I'm telling you today, you need to open your eyes and push aside the sin and realize you need the Lord Jesus Christ so you can see. You can't see the cross today? Oh, let me tell you something. You need to see the cross. Jesus Christ hanging on a cross, bleeding, dying to pay for your sin. I'm so glad at the age of 17, I was able to push the sin aside and I could see the Savior hanging on a cross for me, dying for me, buried, rose again so I could be saved. Thank God. You need to see that today. You really do. This man, his trouble was he was blind. But because of his blindness, the Bible says he had another trouble. The second trouble, he was not only blind, but he was a beggar. The Bible says that this blind man sat by the wayside begging. And maybe you've been in a large city and you've seen someone maybe who was blind, or at least you thought they might be. Nowadays, people will fake it and everything else, and you never know. But you might see them with a little cup out, and they're holding out pennies for the blind, dimes for the blind, money for the blind. And literally, this would happen in New Testament times. And it would happen all the time where somebody would have to beg for their food. They could not work. And this man, because of his blindness, it caused him to have to beg for everything just to get by, just to live. And it seemed like maybe nobody cared. Nobody cared. You know, with a beggar, it often seems like nobody cares. And you know that blindness, and people can get so far into sin and so involved in sin, and it seems like nobody cares. But the psalmist said, I looked on my right hand and nobody cared. And I looked on my left and nobody cared. But he cared. No man cared for my soul, but he cares for your soul. He proved it when he hung on a cross. Listen to me now. You may not think anybody cares. I got news for you. If you rode a bus today, a bus captain cares. You rode a bus today, a bus driver cares. You were in a Sunday school class today, a teacher cares. I promise you this, you're with mom and dad or maybe a grandma and grandpa, or you're here with a brother or sister. Somebody cared enough to get you into church. Somebody does care, but even if no human being cares, Jesus does care. No question about that. And sin will bring us low, but you know, people pity a blind man. And this beggar, he obviously, maybe somebody would throw in some money every now and then. Maybe somebody would help him out every now and then. But the truth of the matter is, he was a beggar because he was blind. He was blind. I think about Samson. Samson, he was a strong man. He did some great things, unbelievable things when he had the power of God on his life. Sin blinded him. It made him weak, and he had to grind at the mill, blind, just walking in circles over and over and over and over, and he was mocked. He was made fun of, but thank God. Thank God. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And it may just very well be that whatever state you're in, because maybe you have to beg or you're in trouble because of your sin, maybe that'll open your eyes. Maybe that trial, that problem, that trouble, as this man, that trouble caused him eventually to call out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Honestly, folks, it's worth it. It's worth it. The song that was played during the offertory, whatever it takes to get closer to you, Lord. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. It's worth it. It's worth it for you to get saved. Whatever it takes. I've seen people get saved at funerals. I've seen people get saved in hospital rooms. I've seen people get saved who've just gone through a foreclosure. I've seen people get saved who they're getting their last little sack of groceries. I say groceries, their last little sack of food, maybe out of our church pantry or something like that. I mean, they're at the bottom. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes that's what it takes to say, Satan, I'm not listening to you anymore. I'm tired of what you've given me. I'm tired of the result of living for the devil. I want something different. And oh, let me tell you, Jesus knows you're that certain person. He sees you. Number one is trouble. Number two is his time. I love this. His time. You know, I preach real hard against luck because I don't believe in it. I think it's ridiculous. And I think God has everything under control all the time. Notice the timing here. Number two is his timing. And verse 36 says, hearing the multitude pass by. Now he's sitting by the wayside begging. The wayside is just anywhere. It's not the main side, it's the wayside. And he's begging. and hearing the multitude pass by. By the way, there should always be a commotion where Jesus is. Hello? There should always be a commotion where Jesus is. It should always be exciting. It should always be thrilling. I mean, it should always be where the blind can hear, hey, something's going on there. Something's happening there. It should always be where this is the most exciting thing. It's where Jesus is. It should be the greatest place in all. It shouldn't be because we feel real good. It should be because Jesus is good. And it should always be that way. I came up the little steps and I saw the little board out here. It just says, God is good. And I was like, yes, He is. Praise God. And you know, here's a fella. He's by the wayside. You know, there might not be a whole lot of folks coming by normally, but this day there's a commotion. Why? The Bible says, hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And can you see him? He can't see anything. He just hears this commotion. He just hears a multitude pass by. He hears, you know, and all this talking and everything and all this commotion taking place. And so he asked what it meant. And it says in verse 37, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Amen. Amen. It was a certain man at a certain time. That's how God works. Certain man, certain time. Amen. It's not an accident that you're here today. You say, you know, I just kind of decided right at the last minute to come to church. Yeah, God had it all planned out. God knows what you need. You're the certain man, the certain time. You are here because God wanted you to be here. And it's a certain man, certain time. And what about the time? First of all, it was a good time. It was a good time. Amen? It was a good time. Why? Well, it was a good time because he could hear. Amen? It was a good time. He could hear. I mean, here's a blind man. He can't see anything, but he sure could hear. He could hear the multitude. It was a good time. I was thinking, you know, so many people will spend so much time griping and complaining about so many things. When's the last time you thank God you could hear? I mean, this guy could hear and speak. You'll see how that's important too. Huh? Boy, I'll tell you, you know. Well, I just don't see it and it makes me mad. But you can hear. Can you hear it? You know, honestly, as a teenager, I was blind at the age of 17. Spiritually, I didn't see any of it. I didn't see it. I didn't get it. I just knew I didn't want to go to hell. And thank God I could hear a preacher preach. Thank God I could hear Christian soul winners talk to me. He could hear. He heard the multitude. Be glad you can hear the gospel. Be glad you can hear the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you, honestly, that is the thing that, you know, again, when you think about, well, I want to see God do something. What's he doing? Because as an unsaved, punk, hippie kid, I sat in church and God spoke to my heart and God dealt with me and the heart rate went faster and the sweat glands opened up. Huh? And it wasn't just a physical issue. It was God dealing with me because he's real. And it was like, I need to do something. And that preacher would say, if you're not sure you're saved, but you want to be saved, raise your hand. And I grabbed my arm to keep it down, but it always went up. I said, what are you doing? They're going to come after you, man. They're going to be all over you. And it was like God spoke to me. I'm so glad I could hear. We get mad, you know. I don't like going to that church. I'm supposed to be happy when I leave, and instead I'm miserable because I'm under so much conviction. Thank God for conviction. Oh, I thank God for all the decisions that I've made because God convicted me about something in my life that was not good for me. I'm so glad. And the main thing, the first thing was I was on my way to hell. I'm so glad God convicted me about that. You know, blind people do listen better. If you've ever been around a blind person, they hear very well. And they do listen better. I mean, Samson, he's there grinding in the mill, and he could hear God as his hair began to grow. And he was able to be used again one last time for God. So it was a good time he could hear. Good time. Number two, it was a good time because he could speak. He could speak. How do you know? Verse 38, he cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He could speak. He asked the people, what's it mean? He could speak. It was a good time. It was a good time. He asked, what is all this commotion? Don't you love it when things are happening in your life? You go to work in a secular job and people all around you, their lives are going bad and yours is going good. Amen. You say, yeah, but we're in Michigan. It's not going good. Are you saved? Amen. When you walk out, look at the little bulletin board up there that says God is good. God is good. God is good all the time. God is never bad. God never does bad. God's people never have bad. It may seem bad, but all things work together for good. It always comes back to good. God is always good. There's things that I don't necessarily understand. There's things I don't initially like. But there's one thing that is always going to be true, and that is that God is good. Always. He could speak. Heard the commotion. You know, if people would see a commotion around your life with answered prayer, with rejoicing about church, with rejoicing about how God spoke to your heart, are y'all listening? Huh? If I'm talking about at the factory, I'm talking about at the business, I'm talking about out at the grocery store, I'm talking about at the restaurant, I'm talking about when you hand a gospel tract out instead of with pain saying here. I'm talking about saying, hey, listen, I want you to read this about my best friend. I'm just talking about commotion. I'm talking about because all they have to do is say, wow, what's going on in your life? I was at RCA as a new Christian and real rough new Christian. And they, after just a few weeks, they started calling me preacher boy. I didn't know anything about preaching, wasn't planning on preaching, didn't even think about preaching, never heard much preaching, but I just kept rejoicing. I was having a good time as a Christian. You know what? It hadn't quit. I'm still having a good time. How about you? Are you having a good time? Because honestly, all this guy had to do, look, it's a certain man, it's a certain place, and the time is a certain time, and he could hear, and he could speak, and all we need is just to hear him ask. That's all. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask and it shall be given. Ask and it shall. That's all. Just get a little commotion around your life. Get a little commotion around your relatives. I thank God. I anticipate seeing every relative in heaven when I go. And I'm telling you, before I got saved, none of them were saved. Now, I'm not saying it's because of me, but I guarantee one thing. Between my sister and I, they always had a commotion around us. And they would say, what's going on? I told you, my dad was unsaved, and he was wicked. I mean, Dad was wicked as far as his lifestyle and everything. And I remember Carl Hatch going to my dad's house, and Dad cussed him out and threw him off the porch. And one of my best friends tried to lead my dad to the Lord, and Dad cussed him out. He cussed me out. I don't know how many times. And you know, the amazing thing is, Dad kept watching us. And I still remember in Bible college, one of the times he called and I started telling him about different things. And this was after about 3 years of Bible college and my language and what we talked about and how things were happening in our lives. And I'll never forget the first time my dad said, what a blessing. Now, I didn't stop and say, Dad, did you hear what you said? I just said, yeah. Yes, Father, it is. But you know what? He could speak because he could hear. And he could speak, though he still couldn't see. Oh, you're here today and you're not saved. I want to get some commotion going on in your heart and your life so that you'll understand you need to ask Jesus. Because when you're blind, you still can speak. You can still call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock. And it shall be opened unto you. And when you're blind, you can call out to Jesus, and he'll save you. I didn't have anybody with me when I got saved. I didn't have any human being leading me through the Romans Road. I didn't have Kathy Moore in there telling me, now, you know, here's what you need to do, and this point, and this point, and this point, and if you'll repeat after me. I didn't have anybody to repeat after me. I didn't have somebody guiding me along through it. But you know what I did have? I had the Lord Jesus Christ who was listening. Because it was a certain blind man at a certain time. And when I called out, I don't remember if I used proper Baptist terminology. I do remember calling out, oh God, please save me. Please save me, God. I don't want to go to hell, God. I want to go to heaven. Please, God, save me. Thank God you can speak, though you may be blind. It was a good time. He could hear. He could speak. It was not only a good time, but it was the best time. Why? Because the Bible is very clear in verse 37. It says, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. If you don't get anything else, get this. There is no better time when God deals with you to get it settled, whatever he's dealing with you about. Jesus is passing by. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Boy, I don't want him to pass me. Jesus is passing by. Now, I'll be honest with you. You have a better opportunity coming to church where Jesus will pass by and speak to your heart. Certainly, no doubt about that. But I'm telling you, he can pass by anywhere and everywhere in your life. It can be at a funeral, and I've seen it happen many times. It can be in the funeral home, just going at the visitation, and Jesus speaks to our hearts. It can be at a hospital bed. It can be at a scene of an accident. I've had it happen, seen it happen many times. I'm just saying it's not only a good time, but it was the best time because Jesus was passing by. When God calls, all you need to do is answer. Samuel? Samuel! Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. It's the best time. The best time. When God speaks to your heart, that's the best time. How many people walk out of church never making the decision God laid on their heart to make? How many people leave lost? I left church services lost. I left that teen camp. That time that preacher came down, 2,000 young people came all the way down the aisle, came right to me, pointed me out, said, you need to get saved. I walked out of there lost. I walked out of church lost several times, probably many times. I'm so glad he didn't just pass by the first time. Some of you are on your first, second, third, fourth time. He's passed by, spoken to your heart. Maybe about getting saved. Maybe about getting baptized. Maybe about some other decision that you need to make. Listen to me. You need to make the decision when Jesus passes by. Quench not the Spirit. Don't be blind. See clearly. Psalm 146, verse 8, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. And I'm telling you, when I knelt at that altar, I knelt as a blind man. When I knelt at the altar, when I knelt at my bed to get saved, I knelt as a blind man. But when I got up, all of a sudden I could see. I couldn't see everything, but I could see. I could see one thing, and that is, I'm saved. Glory to God. Number one is his trouble. Number two is his timing. Or his time. Number three is his test. And here's a test right away. Verse 38. He cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And verse 39, they which went before rebuked him. That he should hold his... Shh! Shh! This is Jesus. Leave him alone. Hey! Hey! Don't call on him! Shh! I call this a test. When he cried, he was rebuked. When he cried, he was told to hold his peace. When he cried, he was told to be quiet. You know, the world wants you to be blind. The lost want you to stay blind. Satan certainly wants you to be blind. And I'll tell you this, it's easy to stay blind. It's amazing when people start to reach out and start to realize there's more and start to think, you know, I need to be in church and I need to, maybe I need to get saved. And that it's amazing how fast the world and the flesh and the devil will try to stop you and try to shut you up. It's amazing how as you call out and you're looking for an answer and you want to be able to see and you want to be able to see the truth. And the Bible says, just like this man, they which went before rebuked him. Shh, hey, leave Jesus alone. Hey, you, be quiet. We don't want to hear from you. You're a beggar. Do you understand? That's exactly the cry Jesus was listening for. That's exactly the person. Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. You're here today without Christ. You're lost. Jesus is looking for you. He's listening for your cry. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what anyone else says. It was a test of opportunity for him. What would he do? Well, the Bible says that he cried so much the more. Rebuke made him cry that much louder. Praise God. You know, and while the world says, hey, you don't need Jesus, while the world cuts down what we believe and they attack our Bible and they attack our preaching, while the world is attacking salvation by grace through faith, as the Bible says it is, while the world attacks all that, you know, this man's, I'll have none of that. I've lived that kind of life long enough. I want Jesus. And he cried louder. It was a test of opportunity. Praise the Lord. And you know, the beggar realized this. By the way, the cry of a blind beggar is a cry of one who cannot help himself. He needed Jesus. We all do. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. None other. Doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter what you cry for. Jesus is the answer. It was a test of humility because notice what his cry was. Thou son of David, have mercy. He knew he needed mercy. Have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. And it was a test of faith. Test of faith, because he really believed. You know, I often wonder back all the opportunities I had to get saved. I had the opportunity at that camp. I had opportunity at Brenda's church and invitations, altar calls. I could have had a deacon put his arm around me and lead me to Christ. I could have had the youth director. He called me in one time and we talked. And he and a man who is now a missionary in Africa, they talked to me about the Lord. I could have gotten saved then. I could have gotten saved with several soul winners as a teenager. Some people talked to me about the Lord and tried to get me. I mean, I could have had all those things. But understand this, folks. Here's what it took. I drove home after hearing a message on the second coming. And all that time I'm driving, I'm crying. I'm pulling off the side of the road. I'm weeping. I'm crying. And that whole time, you know what's happening? The blinders are coming off. They're getting farther and farther away. And I'm saying, God, I'm realizing I've got to trust you. And that's what it is. It's just believing. Believing that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Believe in that. Believing if I call on the Lord to save me, he will save me. And that brings me to number four, and that's his trust. His trust. It says Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Wow. His trust here. He trusted, first of all, in Jesus' authority. Jesus stood and commanded. What is your need? What is your need? Hey, do you believe Jesus can meet whatever need you have today? Because he can. Do you believe that Jesus can take care of that problem today? Because he can. Do you believe he can save your soul today? He can. What is your need, Jesus? By the way, he's the one that can ask that. Honestly, people come to me all the time and say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. Okay, and they sit down and I say, okay, what is your need? But the truth is, I can't meet all their needs. Not even close. Not even close. Not even a little bit. I might meet some needs. I might be able to help with some things. But you know, when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords says, what is your need? He can take care of anything. You need to be saved? I'll save you. Amen. You need healing? I can do that too. You need a problem worked out? I can work that out too. You need a relationship fixed? I can work that out. You need your marriage healed? I can do that too. He can do anything. What is your need today? But again, I put this under his trust because he's blind. You know, he doesn't have a whole lot of options here. I need Jesus. And his trust was in Jesus' authority. His trust was in Jesus' power. He had a need to be able to see, and he was not afraid to ask. Ye have not, because ye ask not. He was not afraid. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done today. Jesus will save you. We have folks in this room done just about anything and everything. Had folks in this room that have done drugs, folks that have been alcoholics, folks that have committed many crimes, folks that have been in jail, folks that have been in prison. We have folks in this room that have lied, cheated, stolen, all kinds of things. Yeah, right here, this room. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how bad. We have folks in this room that have done any number, you know, whatever you've done, we have somebody in here probably that has done that. You know what? You have to have faith in his power. Well, yeah, but I can't live it. He doesn't ask you to live it. He asks you to get it. Amen. Are you listening? Salvation isn't living it. It's getting it. Okay, you get it, and you let him deal with the living it. You got to get it. You have to ask him. It is a free gift. It is not bought with our works. It cannot be bought with our corrupted works. It is only a gift that is given. You just have to take it. If you're not saved today, you just take his gift. And you let him deal with everything else. You say, well, if I get saved, I'll probably tomorrow turn around. Doesn't matter. Don't even think about tomorrow. You think about today, right now. Do you want to be saved? Because that's all that matters. And so this blind man, he said this. He said, when Jesus said, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, by the way, he got that right. That I may receive my sight. I love that. Amen. Now, you know, he could have asked for a morsel of bread. He'd been doing that. A penny. He'd been doing that. He'd been sitting by the wayside begging. But he's talking to the King of Kings. Why ask for a morsel of bread when you can ask for your sight? We're so wimpy in our prayers. Amen. I mean, honestly, could I just have a morsel of bread? Sometimes folks will, you know, they'll pray and say, if it be thy will, how about God, please give me this. We're so, God, please. I'm begging you, God, please. And God, this is the need. Okay, is your need a morsel of bread today, or is your need sight? Could God give the morsel of bread? Sure he could. He also can give sight. And why settle for a bite of bread when you can get sight, get a job, and eat every day? Amen. Amen. Oh, today I wish some folks would say, help me to see, God. Help me to have eyes of faith. I want my sight. I want spiritual sight. I want to be able to see. I really do. But again, it's his trust. He trusted that Jesus would give him that sight. Number five, the last thing is his triumph. By the way, this story, just as I told it just now, it happens day in, day out, all the time. Folks will gripe and, well, you know, nothing's happening. Well, you know, I've been saved all this time, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you, this story is happening to folks all around here. All around here. All around here. I'm talking about our teenagers. It's happening within their lives where it's real. This kind of story, just like this right here, where that certain person at a certain time, God did something. God made a difference. Now, I'm sorry if it's not happening in your life, but I wonder if you got the trouble, yes. You got the time, oh yeah. The test, you know, the time Jesus passes by, speaks to your heart. But I often wonder, well, what's our response then? And as soon as we start to move toward doing something for God, somebody questions it, gripes and complains about it, criticizes us, mocks us, and then we drop out. And that's why you miss number five, and that's the triumph. Because honestly, it's happening all over. It's happening in adults' lives. It's happening in marriages right here at Berean Baptist Church. Yeah, well, I read Facebook. Okay, Facebook's not the Word of God. I'm telling you, there are people. I'm talking about real human beings right here doing fantastic. And this blind man, this certain blind man, has a triumph here. The Bible says, verse 42, Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And that's how you're saved, by grace through faith. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately, verse 43, immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. He received his sight immediately. Immediately. Fanny Crosby, after writing 8,000 songs, she was blind at the age of 6. People pitied her and everything, but she said this. She said, I'm thankful for my blindness because the first sight I will ever see is Jesus. Wow. This man received his sight. You know, it is amazing when you can see. I'm not talking physically. That's amazing too. The eye, it's amazing. The optic nerve, the world, doctors, medical professionals, science, they haven't figured that one out yet. My right eye, the optic nerve, is damaged because of the glaucoma. And I've been told over and over for years and years now, there's nothing we can do about the optic nerve. Absolutely nothing. We cannot repair that. Every doctor's, they always look at the optic nerve. They always, both eyes, they dilate the eye, you know, and they get them real big and all that, and they look in there, But in the back of my mind, I'm knowing they can't do anything about it. If he said, this one's getting bad, the getting bad part is, well, let's stop it, but you can't fix it. But you know what? He can. I see some folks that are spiritually blind, and I think, you know what? Your optic nerve's in trouble. Because you're heading down a path, it's just all trouble. It's bad. It could go from trouble to triumph, though, if you just get things right with God today. People are blind. I mean, you know, I used to be able to see. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, because of sin or because of whatever in your life, you don't see anymore. It's so wonderful to be able to see. It's so wonderful to be able to read the Bible and get it. It's so wonderful to come to church and get it. It's so wonderful to hear the songs. I mean, Stacy's singing, and I'm sitting there wanting to just shout. And honestly, it has nothing to do with whether notes are hit or not. No, they were. It ain't got anything to do with that, though. It has nothing to do with what my toe's doing. It has everything to do with what's happening right here. Wow. That's so good. Amen. But that's when you can see. When you can see past all the world's smudge and garbage and junk and everything going on in the world, it's so wonderful to be able to see victory in Jesus. And this man, his triumph, he received his sight, but he followed Jesus. By the way, that makes sense. The one who gave him sight makes sense to follow him. And of course, others were affected. Why? Because it says, all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Why? Aren't you that guy that was down by the wayside begging? Aren't you that guy that, That's what all my friends said. Aren't you the guy that was just cussing the other day and swearing and everything? Aren't you the guy that was living a wicked life? Aren't you the guy that played drums, you know, with rock music? And aren't you that guy? Aren't you that guy that was involved in this and this? And hey, aren't you the guy that just cussed me out last week? You're that same. Aren't you that guy? Oh yeah, I was. No, you are. I said, no, I was. I'm not the same guy. It's so wonderful to go back to some of those old friends and say, yeah, I'm not the same guy. I think it was last fall. Could have been two falls ago. I don't even remember now. But I met with some old buddies, guys that were in our wedding. And we were rough together. We were old buddies. And I sat there and I looked. And we ordered a meal. And everybody just stopped when the food came. And they all looked at me. I thought, you know, 45 years ago, this would not have happened. Are you listening? I mean, honestly, I used God's name, but I didn't call out to him. I cursed his name. And they all stopped. I for a brief moment, I brought some old pictures of our wedding and different things to show them what they used to look like. and I just kind of stopped, and just under my breath, I said, God. Thank you so much. I'm not the same. I'm not the same. And that's what this fellow said as he looked around and all of a sudden he could see. Hey, you're here today without Jesus. He'll help you see. Call on him. He's passing by right now. You can tell. Heart speeds up a little bit. Sweat glands open up. Whatever happens, he starts to deal with you. If you're not saved, please get saved today. Christian, are you blind? Are you blind? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one talking, no one looking around. Heads are bowed, but our hearts are open. Hearts are open. Is there someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never been saved. If I were to die right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Raise your hand up. Just slip it up. Say, pray for me. I'm the only one looking. No one else is looking. Be honest. I am not sure I'm going to heaven. Please pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians would say, I'm saved. I've got that settled. I know that. But as a Christian, God's speaking to my heart today about something. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Thank you. Father, bless our invitation. Have your will in our lives, and I pray that we'll recognize that Jesus is passing by and it's an opportunity for us to call out whatever our need and by faith to call upon your name to meet that need. For some, it's a need of salvation. For others, it's a big problem. It's wisdom. It's maybe a financial need, a health need, or something. I pray we'll do that. Though we may be blind for whatever reason, thank God we can still call out to you. I pray we would in Jesus' name. Amen.